Shalom. Welcome to Tehillim Yomi. Psalm 7, as we reach 1 week of learning Tehillim together. In biblical times, every day was Judgment Day. Perhaps this is what David alludes to in Psalm 7 when he asks God to judge him. Psalm 7 begins with a strange word used only once in Tehillim and twice in all of the Bible. The word is Shigayon. The title, which often reveals some connection to the psalm, is quite complicated in Psalm 7, a shigayon to David, who sings to God about the words of Cush, the son of Yemini. Rashi states that the word shigayon stems from the word shkaga, meaning mistake. And David is saying here, I'm going to write this psalm about the mistake that I made. I committed some sin, but the way to redeem myself is in form of prayer. Another position offered by Rashi and Radak is that shigayon was a type of musical instrument, similar to a kinor, shoshanim, and others, like we've seen in the past few mizmarim. Another approach by Ibn Ezra considers the word to mean longing, like a shigayon, a desire, like tishkek tamid from Mishlei. If we accept the notion that David was singing or praying about a mistake he made in the past, what was it? And who was this Cush about whom David was singing? Was there a relationship between his sin and the words or actions he encountered with Cush? Once again, the commentaries debate the issue. Perhaps it was a code name for King Saul, so thus says Rashi, Radak, Mitzudot, Hirsch. Or perhaps there was another person named Cush, that's the Malbim, Ibn Ezra. In terms of the type of sin committed, once again, we're unsure. Certainly in David's life, there are sins from which to choose. Neither the Bible nor the Midrashim attempt to hide any errors made by David, or anyone for that matter, in his lifetime. The opposite is true. Almost immediately retribution is given to him, teaching us the important lesson in how David chose to live his life. But what sin? The rabbis offer some suggestions. It certainly doesn't sound like that main death, destruction sin. It's more somewhat of a minor sin. Some suggest cutting off a piece of the soul's robe. Others suggested rejoicing when soul finally died, being partially responsible for the murders of the priests, or even just calling soul Kush. Whatever the interpretation, whatever the definition of the word, one idea emerges from this line of commentators. David sins, and now he reckons with it, with God as part of the equation. We'll see from the psalm that David tries to direct us at how to deal daily with sin, punishment, justification, and atonement. Now, the Mizmor is long, complicated with twists and turns, which might have been part of David's message. But here is a translation of the verses divided into sections, which will paint a picture of David's mindset of the psalm. Verses 2 and 3. O Lord God, in you I seek refuge. Deliver me from all my pursuers and save me, lest like a lion they tear me apart, rending in pieces, and no one save me. That's typical. If we gave a title for that, that's David calling out to God, please plead for survival. Section 2, however, changes gears. O Lord, if I have done such things, if my hands bear the guilt of wrongdoing, if I've dealt evil to my ally, then let my enemy pursue and overtake me. Let him trample my life to the ground and let my body be in the dust. David here adorns a readiness to be judged. The next section, he goes back. Rise, O Lord, in your anger. Assert yourself against the fury of my foes. The nation of Israel will surround your temple when you, God, vanquish the enemy. Here, a call for God to rise up. But then in verse 9, he repeats, the Lord who judges nations, judge me, O Lord, for the righteousness and blamelessness that are mine. Let the evil of the wicked come to an end, but establish the righteous. The final two sections of the Mizmor, if I look to God to shield me, God judges the righteous and sends his wrath on the enemies every day. God is the righteous judge who sends his wrath to the enemies daily. If he does not return from his evil, God's sword will be prepared, bend his bow and ready it. He has also prepared the weapons of death. God here is the warrior against the evil. Behold, he travails with iniquity. Yes, he conceives mischief and brings falsehood. Now he's damning the wicked ones. And the final verse in verse 18 is, I will praise the Lord for its righteousness, or Odeh Hashem kitzidko. and sing a hymn of name to the Lord Most High. It's a complicated psalm, but a certain arrangement emerges. At first, a voice of trust and faith in God, but then the realization that one must confront the reality of one's day. Therefore, the poet turns to immediate plea for salvation. But he does not let this stand alone. He asks himself whether he is worthy of this merciful act of God. Now, the second section, David sets up a self-judgment. He waits for the Lord to judge him because he's willing to be judged together with all the others who are being, who should be judged. David does not recoil in fear of reprisals, but asserts his righteousness. He's ready. Judge me, O Lord, for the righteousness and blamelessness that are mine. His willingness to confront his destiny stems from two perspectives. First, the specific infraction that David is referring to in the psalm seems somewhat minor. It's not the case of Bathsheba. It's a case regarding this Cush and regarding this event that took place. Second, we must realize that David is not being judged alone, but he'll stand together with his enemies. The Mizmor continues to discuss the judgment of the righteous, and David begins to have a treatise on the evil people who, after hearing about the judgment, nevertheless continue to bask in their evil finite rewards, but they'll ultimately pay the price. David gets carried away on the issue of evil and throughout the rest of Tehillim, as if he's constantly barraged with the theological question of evil and how to answer it in the framework of God and judgment. In the end, David acknowledges God based on his righteousness, kitzidko. But we can't help thinking of the same word he used for himself, kitzidki, in verse 9. The point is that David recognizes that we will sin. We'll give in to our passions, desires, and intellectual aspirations. In addition to major sins, we will err in judgment, misperceive a situation. But his concern, however, is how we pick up the pieces. How, upon reflection, we recognize what we did, and whether we will take the steps to accept the ramifications of our actions and seek judgment, but also stand up for ourselves, struggling to maintain our religious composure, even in the darkest hour. We are familiar with an automatic submission to God, a plea for salvation. What intrigues us is that the routine nature of his declaration, "Judge me, O God," and his insistence that only through God's daily judgment of all creatures can the world exist, can justice prevail, can the evil ones who constantly mock him ultimately receive their judgment. Generally, we fear judgment. David teaches us that sometimes we must own up to our actions and be confident enough in ourselves that we will emerge victorious. David often presents us as a helpless and frightened picture of himself. Here he chose a different side, a person ready to be judged. This David concludes with that, a declaration that he will praise God's name, and we expect him to continue singing praises during his lifetime. Shalom.